and we are deliberately being more interactive in this sermon series tonight. Think of a mixture between a sermon and a fellowship group. That's why we've got tables. That's why we've got tables. And shock horror, you will be invited to talk to your neighbours. I hope that's okay. Well, if it's not, tough, because that's what we're doing. So we're starting a new sermon series thinking about prayer. What prayer is, why we pray. Because in the weeks coming up to Easter, we are thinking about how we, you lovely lot, can be more confident at praying by ourselves and praying for others. Oh, how exciting. Now, some of you are thinking, Louise, you are teaching your grandmother how to suck eggs. Because, you know, we've been praying since before you were a lad. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? Before you were a lass. That's not a confession, by the way, before that rumour starts. But what I have noticed as a minister, that one of the things that people often say to me is that they struggle with prayer. They know they should be praying, because that's what Christians do. We all think it's a really good idea, but getting down to the nitty-gritty in our busy lives, when we have to stay still, perhaps, is hard. So if there was a picture that described your prayer life, I wonder what it would be. I have some options to choose from. Picture number one, and I will audio describe these. Picture number one, does this describe your prayer life? I like this one. This is a cartoon of God knocking on the door, and the person behind it won't notice because they're on their phone. They're distracted. Dan's on his phone at the back. No, oh, actually, no, he's not. He's eating cake. Anybody got a spiritual issue with the time they spend on their phones? I spend way too much time on my phones. That's why that's there, because it starts speaking to me before it spoke to you. Maybe that's a picture of your prayer life. Maybe that's the picture of your prayer life. It's a picture of a desert. People marching across it, but it's a bit of a wilderness. Does that describe your prayer life at the moment? Maybe this is your prayer life. It's a cartoon of someone battling spiritually. Some people love to pray against strongholds and principalities. They go into battle every day. Is that a picture of your prayer life? Is this a picture of a prayer life? This is a picture of a young girl in the lap of Jesus. Something altogether more lovely. Maybe your prayer life at the moment feels that you are curled up on God's lap and you're having a nice chat. That's actually, I think, a lovely image. But this is the same similar sort of theme. This is the cartoon of a little girl looking adoringly into God's eyes with a lighted candle with the phrase, God loves your devotion. God loves your devotion. Now, I think at all sorts of different times in my journey as a Christian, it's been probably most of those pictures, because it hasn't actually stayed the same. There's been all those times and experiences. So if you had to describe your prayer life, how would you describe it? And remember, no honest answer is a wrong answer. perhaps you would be brave enough to share that with those around your table, even if you don't know them very well. Shock horror. What word would describe your prayer life at the moment? Off you go. I'm not going to ask you to share aloud what picture you would say your prayer life looks like. I knew I'd end up not being able to shut you up. There's more opportunity, Jane Gamble. Shush. So we know, as Christians, don't we, that we should pray. Maybe you are in the habit of getting up at the crack of dawn, prayer walk in the marine lake. That's Heather every morning. Before you go to work, you are interceding for your work colleagues. You're fasting and praying. Maybe you're the sort of person who, if there's a big test at school, that'll be the time you pray. Lord, help me remember everything. Maybe you are in the habit of praying before you eat. It's interesting, Rebecca once very embarrassingly, when we had someone for dinner, said really loudly, as after we said grace, "We don't normally say grace. Why are we saying grace just because people are here? Thanks." So with that thought in mind, I just thought it would edify us with this deep spiritual video from the Christian comedian Tim Hawkins on what mealtime graces might look like. I hope this works. Do you want to turn it up? Oh, hedge of protection around my pancreas. I've been laughing at that all week. So I just thought I'd have to share it with you because I found it so funny. Oh, dear. So, that was really funny. Control yourself, Louise. So, prayer. Let me read you Philippians 4. What is prayer? At its most basic, it is communication with God. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7 says this: "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." It is basically communicating with God in relationship. The word comes from the Latin word for precarious, because life is precarious, isn't it? And some of us know that. It's marvelous, but sometimes it's hard. Pete Gregg says this: we pray because we find ourselves lost for many things, but not for the simplest words, like please, thank you, wow, and help. I prayed, he says, when I held my babies for the first time. I prayed when work overwhelmed me and I knew I couldn't cope. I prayed when my wife was wheeled away down the hospital corridor unconscious. I prayed the night I saw the northern lights. The Canadian psychologist David Brenner says, prayer is the soul's native language and our natural posture is attentive openness to the divine. I like that. That's our soul's natural posture, is an openness to the divine. And I think I agree with that. In my conversations with non-Christians, I tell my fellowship group this all the time. When I'm sitting at Slimming World, because that's when all my conversations with non-Christians happen, and people come and ask me to pray for them, or I say, can I pray for you? Nobody ever says no. Ever. It's true. Nobody ever turns down prayer, I have found. In fact, I've even got a friend at Slimming World who started the conversation with, Louise, I don't believe in God, but can you pray for me? And I went, you're hedging your bets here, love. She went, I don't believe in God, but you do. And it's like, okay, I'll pray. Interesting. Even Conrad Hilton, he of the hotel fame, says this. In the circle of successful living, interesting phrase, prayer is the hub that holds the wheel together. In the circle of successful living, prayer is the hub that holds the wheel together. There's not just one way to pray, there's not just one type of prayer. I've been a Christian a long time, since I was 14, and I'm now very old, work it out. And I wish I had read... Oh, hang on, we'll come to him in a moment. I've put this in the wrong order. This book, when I first became a Christian, it hadn't been written then. This book by the lovely Pete Gregg. It's called How to Pray, A Simple Guide for Normal People. So if you are a normal person, this is for you. If you are a weird person, I can find you a book that will help you. But if you're a normal person, this book is excellent. And you can tell it's excellent because it's got more highlights and bits underlined and hearts and scribbles on it than probably anything else that I have. I highly recommend this. Pete Gregg knows his stuff, and I know that several of our fellowship groups have done the prayer course of which this comes from. So I just thought, you know, if we're talking about prayer, we've got to have little Pete Gregg speak to us. We do love Pete. Well, I'm speaking personally here. He's great. So I'll go back one. This is Pete with a couple of tips on how, hang on, to pray.
Okay. Three tips for prayer. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it out. That's it. Just keep it simple. Don't think of it too complicated. You know, Jesus told a parable explicitly saying the snotty-nosed and weeping tax collector just said, Lord, have mercy, was heard by God, and the Pharisee, Lord, flowery language, wasn't. So we can afford to grieve and to be angry at
like that. Keep it simple, keep it real, keep it up. We could remember that. Lovely Pete Gregg. So, in his book, How to Pray, it's a bit of the Bible and Pete Gregg tonight, he helpfully gives a framework on how to pray, a simple framework around the word pray. In our children's work, we do that too. I think Pete heard us. We started first. We go P, R, A, Y, and then we pray, and at the end we go, Amen. So not quite the same Pete Gregg's version. He uses a simple framework around the word pray to help us focus our prayer. So I thought we'd share that together this evening. So it's pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Psalm 46, verse 10 says this: be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. But be still. I'm not good at being still unless I'm asleep. Anyone else? Me and Karen are cut from the same cloth. And I think it's really healthy to stop. It's healthy to pause. With all the stuff that we do, with all the busyness around us, taking time to pause quickly reminds us who we are coming before. We're not just stopping to watch Netflix, we are stopping to be with God Almighty. And it reminds me of the verses at the beginning of Ecclesiastes 5. I wonder if you've heard these words before. They're great. Let me read them to you. Guard your steps when you go to the house of the Lord, house of God. Go near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifice of fools who do not know that they do wrong. Do not be quick with your mouth. Do not be hasty in your heart to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and you are on the earth, so let your words be few. Shut up, Scripture says. The shut up and say nothing and let God speak. Pause. Because we are in the presence of God. I find that really hard to do because I have lots to say. But then again, so does God. And sometimes I have to shut up enough to let God have a word in edgeways. And that's the point of relationship, isn't it? In all our relationships, if someone does all the talking, that's probably not healthy. Probably not healthy. Prayer is two-way communication. So a question: what helps you pause? Anyone want to share any tips that works for you in your pattern of prayer or anything that helps you? Do you have a time? Do you have a place? Do you have a chair? Is it on the dog walk? Anyone got anything they can share that will help us pause? I'm pausing.
A bath. It's a cliche, but it's true.
How does that help?
Because I can't do anything. If I put my phone out of reach, and put some music on it or something like that. Otherwise, I'll, you know. But it just, there's something about the warmth of the water as well, and the physical relaxation that takes me into another zone. And a candle in the bath. That, not in the bath, that wouldn't work very well. But yeah, a candle at the side of the bath. Yeah, and the children downstairs. Doesn't happen often.
Okay, I like that idea. Anyone else?
Definitely at the moment, with the challenges I'm going through, it sounds a bit silly, but I had a really big fluffy dressing gown for Christmas. And if I put that on and I'm on my own, I find I can just pause and pray. I can see why children have comfort blankets. It's been a real comfort. I don't know what it'd be like in the summer.
Hot. Anyone else?
Walk and talk.
Walk and talk. Do you let God get a word in edgeways?
I try to.
You and me both, love you and me both.
I think the car, I mean, the nature of my other type of work is that I travel to a lot of places, and I used to be the person who listened to a lot of podcasts or sermons in the car, and not that that's not a great thing to do, but actually I've made it like an effort to not put anything on and just kind of drive, and quite often God will drop something into my brain and we'll have a little talk, and open space came from that. So yeah, sorry, that was a plug.
We'll do that in a minute. We'll plug that in a minute. Okay. So the first thing is pausing. Pausing means being ready to listen. Stopping. It could be stopping and walking. I know that, Jane, you often pray when you walk the dogs, don't you? It might not mean a physical stopping. It's a stopping the noise in your head. Anyone else got a noisy head? Is it just me? And focusing on God. So, pausing. Anyone remember what the next one is? Rejoicing. You were listening. Rejoicing. Philippians 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice, in case you didn't hear it first time. So after you've taken some time to pause and to reflect, rejoicing, I think, is a natural next step, isn't it? It's a natural overflow of time spent with God. Because God is worthy of all our praise. Yes?
Yes, Louise.
Before we've said anything we want on our shopping list of requests, it is good to say, I am here, I am with you, and I am going to praise you. Even if I don't feel like it. Even if my circumstances are hard, rejoice in the Lord always. It doesn't say rejoice in the Lord when things are good. It says rejoice in the Lord always. Because that's about the nature of who God is, not the nature of our circumstances. Even when we don't feel like it, even when rejoicing in the Lord is the last thing we want to do, even, and I'm sure this doesn't happen to any of you lot, and it's just me, even when you're really cross with God, because life is hard. Rejoice in the Lord. It connects our perspective and it reminds us who God is. It's a leveler. So, what helps you rejoice? For me, it's the Psalms. Love the Psalms, and I love listening to worship music, but let me tell you a little kind of note. A while ago, I was praying in my quiet time, and I've got into the habit of reading other people's words that form my prayers. like reading out other people's prayers and reading out the Psalms or listening to worship music. And I could hear God's still small voice, which basically said, Louise, all of that is good, but I want to hear what you say to me, not what everyone else has already said. What's your words of praise? It was like, okay, so what helps you rejoice?
As Louise says, I like to pray when I'm walking the dogs because that is the only time I can't look at my phone while I'm walking because I fall over. But rejoicing in nature, because I'm actually a biologist by trade, if you like. So the complexities of his creation that's in such perfect balance that no matter if people in my life are pants or things are going wrong, his creation is constant. And so that's kind of very grounding, as well as just to give thanks for the simple little things that you see and notice. And there's one thing just to share. A while ago, I asked God to show me just something that I knew he was there. And every now and again, you know, the little pied wagtail birds that I get them landing at my feet and they almost do a dance. And sometimes they walk alongside me and it just, something happens in my heart and I just always praise him. But it happens too often to be just coincidence, and I just instantly go, there's God. My children think I'm bonkers because I'll go, there's God. And they'll go, no, it's a bird, Mom. And I'll go, no, that's God showing up. And just let me know he's there.
Thank you. Sarah, what helps you rejoice? I'm getting my steps in tonight.
It's similar, I suppose, to what James is saying. It's sunsets. When you see a good sunset and you sort of think, wow, and you know that sunset will never be the same again. It's that one unique sunset, and then the next day's sunset will be completely different, but it's just that, the colours and the uniqueness of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. That was one of the things we talked about this morning in the morning service. Anyone else? One more? I thought you were about to say something then, Ali. Karen. What helps you rejoice? Tigger friend.
Being a Tigger, it kind of builds on what Sarah and Jane have both said. It's that constant renewing sense of the beauty in all this that God has created. He's created it, and he hasn't just created it, but he's made it so beautiful. And so, and then in each day there is something that you see that I didn't know that there was greenfinches and goldfinches in the garden, and there are these beautiful goldfinches just flying around our gardens that are stunningly beautiful, and they don't have to be that beautiful, but God has made them so beautiful, and that's what helps me.
Thank you. You're a bird lot, you lot, aren't you? Clearly. So we've paused with we've rejoiced. Then it's us. John 14:14, Jesus says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. You will ask me, you can ask me for anything, and I will do it. What a great promise. And I guess asking is third after pausing and rejoicing. So we're not straight in there with a shopping list of requests from God. We've got our heart in the right place before we get to the asking. We're not demanding God to perform for us. We're coming to our Heavenly Father in relationship and asking him to take care of the things that we care about. God isn't always on our timetable, so we don't always receive what we ask for in the time that we want. It doesn't mean that it's not going to happen, or he doesn't want to give it to us. But I think God delights in our asking, in our perseverance. One of the things that helps me is remembering what I've prayed. So I've put on the tables an example I've found on Pinterest of a prayer journal, because sometimes we forget what God has said and what God has answered already. I think sometimes we forget that. I'm probably way over my time already, aren't I, Dan? Am I way over my time? I'm going to skip that next question. And the last one is yielding. Romans 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. It's about a heart that is surrendered to God that enables us to be able to pray outrageous prayers and know that God will hear us. I was going to tell you a story that involved this man, Gary Barlow, but I won't because we've run out of time. What a shame. I was going to ask you to share around your tables stories of answered prayer, but I won't because we've run out of time. So, just to sum up, prayer strengthens our relationship with God. It provides comfort and guidance and peace. Rejoice always. Pray continually, Thessalonians says. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Prayer is powerful. It changes the world and it changes us. James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other, pray for each other so that you might be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Prayer is a pleasing aroma to God. It makes God smile. It demonstrates our faith and our dependence on Him. Psalm 141 says, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. I believe prayer is the lifeline to the heart of God alongside worship. If we want to be in relationship with God, prayer is vital. If we want to align ourselves to His will, to the purposes of God, prayer is essential. If we want God to move in power, then we have to ask. It's the most transformational force that we have available to us. God uses the prayers of His church to make a difference. He says, whenever we stop saying no to God's plans and start saying yes in prayer, then His kingdom comes. I've missed a word out of that sentence. It's when we start saying yes in prayer, then His kingdom comes. Can the band come up? This last Pete Gregg comment always makes me think. The rusty hinge of human history turns out to be the bended knee. The rusty hinge of human history turns out to be the bended knee. Prayer matters. It is important. We want to encourage you all to grow in prayer over this next season, to be more confident, to be more intentional, to be more prayerful. That is a good thing. And we are going to praise God who answers prayer, and the band are going to lead us. And if you want to know the Gary Barlow story, catch me later. Sorry for overrunning.